This is Twit.
Oh, so this was interesting. This is one of those stories that I put in. Because I'm none of us except for you, Wesley. You have at least a background in development. I'm not a developer. Flo and Ron, like we don't pretend to be developers on this show. But this is a theme that we see repeating time and time again. And I thought because you were on, I could kind of ask your take on this. But Google has been not very great historically when it comes to notifying developers as far as why their apps are removed from the Play Store. We've talked about it in the past with a few different apps. And the latest example is an app called DroidScript. It's a mobile IDE. It allows users to create Android apps on their phone. I've not used DroidScript, but apparently it's been around for over 7 years. 1.5 million downloads over that time, 105,000 active users, and a developer that's very passionate about what's going on right now and very vocal about it. So, I guess take with a grain of salt, right? Like none of us can look into the code and understand exactly what's going on here. Google disabled the AdMob account, quoting invalid traffic. The developer had no idea what that was in reference to, appealed. Suddenly, the app was suspended, Google said, for ad fraud. He said also the response came very quickly and in an automated way. So it really kind of seemed like this was like an automated sort of thing that may have not had a human on the other side of it, which when you're suspending an account, probably be a good thing. A week later, as the developer was actively removing AdMob from the app, Google Play suspended their app with some minor details, very minor details. And that's kind of the crux of this, is that we've heard time and time again about developers who have their app removed from the Play Store. They're given this kind of like little boilerplate information as far as like why, or pointed to a general support page, and they're left scratching their heads going, okay, well, what is the thing here that's keeping me from like making a living off of this app the way I've done for 7 years? It has been temporarily reinstated. It's been given 7 days. The developer's been given 7 days to modify and then update the app to make it compliant with Google Play policy. But anyways, so Wesley, you had mentioned prior to the show that you don't really have a whole lot of interaction with the Play Store these days. But I'm curious to know your thoughts working closely with developers. I suppose if you have thoughts on the frustration that's going on here, or any anecdotal kind of information as far as relates to this problem.
Yeah, the Play Store, when it's launched, and many years after that, it was extremely developer focused, which was really good. So you would put something in their store, it'll get approved really quickly. They would just check it to make sure it didn't violate any of their API usage. And the focus on the developer at the beginning was amazing. So compared to Apple, especially, we would submit, when I was with Atlassian, I was on the HipChat team. We would submit app updates on both platforms, and the Android would get almost immediately approved, and we would just have to wait and hold back the general release until the Apple Store would be able to approve it, and then we would release them simultaneously. What has happened is, with the scrutiny of malware and all these checks, the store seems like it swung towards the consumer side, like protection. So less developer focus in terms of the store's focus, but more on how we're going to make it easier for the consumers and engender trust. So a lot of the effort on the store side seemed to go that way. And then when the developers needed more support, it went into more tools like Kotlin and Android Studio, for instance, and making sure they made those tools to make developers happy. So this vagueness of the store has always been a problem, but you wouldn't get injected. It would be rare, because you would be able to change it, mitigate it, like you can figure out what you could have done. But now with the size of the store, they've rolled out a lot more automated testing, but they don't really publicize here's exactly what's wrong, because they don't want people to game the system. And I have to say that train of thought is kablooey. Sorry for my language. And
how dare you?
Because any developer, especially if you're working in open source, you have the whole source code out there. You have a list of bugs out there. And developers, especially on Android, the Android team knows that's how software is made. It's made in public sometimes. And so just saying, like, here's like even a screenshot of our automation that finds the problem, and this is the error code that we're getting back. Being more transparent on how that works will not hurt Android. And if people find flaws, then consider that part of a bug bounty on your own system, and incorporate those changes to work around the people who are doing the workaround. It's always going to be a cat and mouse game, and trying to deny information that's useful for the developer is causing harm on that side, and it's not doing the thing that they're trying to do, which is protect the user. So hopefully they can be more transparent, and even what would help a developer is to roll out some of these checks in Android Studio. So even before you submit it to the store, you can do some checks locally or understand what's going on before you even submit it and before it can be pulled down. There should be a way to like submit it and get a thorough report on all the areas of things they check. So not just getting an error when there's a problem, but saying where things are good and what improvements can happen for like accessibility, usability. There's local support on Android Studio to do different resolutions, but just do more of that for making sure that you are compliant with the policy, compliant with the rules, and allow the server-side checks when you upload it to the Play Store, allow a really transparent report, you know, the stuff that doesn't work on a client. Have that sent to the developers, because they think secrecy is protecting them, but it's not. It's just pissing off developers.
Right. Yeah, I love how you put that, because that's what it feels like as a user and just a podcaster about Android looking at this story. Mm-hmm. That really seems to me to be the issue. It really seems from the outside looking in that Google is really trying to like hold its cards close to the vest, but really, it's just creating a very unfriendly environment for developers, and you want to keep your developers happy in this regard. You know, in this situation, like I said, it's I don't have enough information to look into this and know exactly what happened, but I know what I'm reading. About the developer who kind of wrote about this and kind of called everyone's attention to it and everything. It feels pretty darn genuine when you've written an app like this and you've been supporting it for 7 years, and then suddenly something happens and you're like, I have no idea what this is, but now suddenly my app is off and you're not giving me much information to go off of. Like, I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for anyone who's put in that position. This could be someone's livelihood that, you know, maybe an AI system is messing with or something. And that's not a good look either. And so but you know what? The situation's probably complicated for Google as well. It's probably a very difficult position for them to be in for any number of business reasons and safety, you know, security reasons and everything. I don't know what the answer
it's
is.
It's multi-layered. And what's scary is what you're talking about. Like, it's someone's livelihood. And if you read a lot of the chain, it's a lot of employees' livelihood too, because they weren't able to pay their employees because of this. So it's several different lives that are affected. And I've managed several different communities, large and small. And they found a problem. Fine. Here's the other thing that they don't really publicize is their penalties and their standard operating procedure for dealing with those. If you find this problem, you can get suspended. If you have this problem, you're banned permanently. They don't lay those out about where are the problem areas, where are the high critical areas of their policy. And they wrap that all in a blanket, like, we can take action, without saying these specific actions will be taken if you fall within these bands of violations. And here's the proper way of recourse. And you have to pay to be in the store, yet they don't supply an SLA. So if you're paying for a service and then they can just get back to you whenever, or maybe not get back at all, that feels like they're stealing your money in some way, because that's what you pay for. When you think of all the services that they take a cut of when they when you have an exchange of money on the App Store or the Google Store, you're paying for that service and you should get some support. And not having an SLA or a service level agreement for getting back to your clients, which are the developers, is an egregious oversight. And I can't believe that they haven't really focused on, when there's a problem, not only what could happen, but here are all the possibilities, here are all the recourses, and here are all the steps we're going to take. So it's clearly laid out so that you can follow, saying, oh, I got this warning, so I know that this will happen to me, and I know this is how much time to have to fix it. And that should be just laid bare for everyone, even before you even pay money to be in the App Store.
Sounds right to me.
Google, the Play Store.
Yeah, well said. Right.
Well spoke. Well said.
Sure. This is why we have developers on the show.
support your devs.
We know nothing about this.
Support your devs.
Thank you, Wesley. That was awesome. Yeah. All right.
And cool. If I could circle back on just one thing really quickly.
Yeah.
We talked about IO, and I said that I would circle back on the diversity part of IO. Yep. What I wanted to say is that there's a couple things that happened from last year to this year, and of course COVID was a huge part of it. But in terms of having equitable reach, especially we're talking about artificial intelligence, there needs to be some reflection of the world we live in today. And the focus on the geographical diversity is where these types of problems are really going to snowball, because we talked about like this developer and their staff not being able to be paid, but opening it up to the world, especially the Android's footprint, this is going to be having a large ramification. This could be a whole village of people, or it could be someone sending remittance to their family members, or people abroad that are they're not only just their livelihood but their family too is looking to use Android as a platform support. So where a few cents for an ad may have a limited impact in, let's say, a Western nation, but developing nations, that could be significant. And we've talked in the development world that a lot of the developers are just now being born or just being raised or just now getting access to their first cell phone. So there's a lot of talent coming up. And if they don't focus on this type of work, it's really going to squash and burn a lot of people in these developing nations that are trying to use this platform for good. And the other side of the coin in terms of the environment, there's a lot of I'm not going to use the B word, but there's a lot of talk about allowing people to bring their whole self to work and talking about diversity, and they're with the push into AI. I mentioned like the assistant being everywhere. The ethics of that is going to be really huge. And the dismissal of their ethics researcher.
Yes.
As they make a push into AI, they really are going to have to address both of those things in their keynote. And so I really hope that they do right by not only their employees, but the world and the developers that they support. And so those are my hopes for IO. And if they don't focus on people, it's going to really hurt them.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up. That is a really good point. I'll actually be really curious to see how much time is focused on that in Sundar's keynote. That seems like the kind of thing that he could lead the keynote with, as kind of like a setting the stage sort of thing. And I agree. I hope that he does, because that's a big stain on Google that has happened this past year, and still don't quite know where Google is landing on this and where they stand on it, because that's still the AI ethics kind of researchers and the whole mess laid, in that path really kind of puts a lot of Google's efforts in AI in a large question mark there, as far as like, okay, what's going on? If we didn't already have, reason to kind of question what's going on with Google, that creates even more of a question mark. And that would be a good thing for Sundar to address. I'll be curious to see if he does.